In Washington, D.C., Austin, Texas, and Mexico City, there is an unprecedented amount of attention being focused on the U.S. and Mexican borderlands. Problems along the 2,000-mile border have become too serious to disregard any longer. For example, substandard housing, disease clusters, insufficient wastewater treatment, and crowded border crossings. State and federal lawmakers say it's past time to invest in what is the center of poverty in America today. NPR's John Burnett reports.
Imagine the Texas-Mexico border were America's 51st state. Let's call the 43 counties of South and Southwest Texas the state of Rio Grande. A few years ago, Texas crunched some numbers that dramatically illustrate living conditions of these 4 million Rio Grandians. This fictitious 51st state would be first in the overall poverty rate and last in per capita personal income and first in the percentage of adults without a high school diploma. It would also have the highest birth rate and the greatest percentage of households that speak Spanish. State Senator Elliot Shapley, a Democrat from El Paso, is spearheading an effort in the Texas legislature to dramatically increase spending along the border. He's calling it the Texas Border Marshall Plan.
The border has been ravaged not by a war, but by profound neglect. Neglect so profound as to deny a whole region a sound economic foundation. And we see every bit the urgency that our nation saw in Europe in 1946 in these border counties. We have to set up the infrastructure so people can succeed.
It's an ambitious package of more than 50 bills. They would speed up bridge crossings, expand higher education opportunities in the region, increase Medicaid reimbursement to border doctors, develop new drinking water reservoirs, and upgrade impoverished subdivisions called colonias. The border has been overlooked for so long, the needs are almost overwhelming. Mindful of this, the Texas Marshall Plan will require 4 legislative sessions over 8 years. Take just one issue, colonias. There are more than 1,400 of these improvised communities scattered along the Texas border. Many have no paved streets, sewer connections, or running water. They're populated mainly by poor immigrants from Mexico, nearly half of whom live below the poverty level, says Rebecca Leitze, a public interest lobbyist in Austin.
The problems of the colonias are so widespread, they're so systemic, it basically affects every area of people's lives. And I think what the state is trying to do is certainly important, but it really is going to take a long, difficult effort to get it done.
On the federal level, U.S. Representative Silvestre Reyes, also a Democrat from El Paso, has assembled his own set of bills called the Border Economic Recovery Act. It seeks to boost funding for federal courts, highways, and ports of entry. It targets common border diseases like tuberculosis, diabetes, and hepatitis, and it addresses the need for more wastewater treatment. Every day, the sewage produced by more than a third of Mexico's border residents flows untreated into the Rio Grande. That's despite recent completion of new water treatment plants. Congressman Reyes points out that Ciudad Juarez alone dumps millions of gallons of raw sewage into the river daily.
Juarez has approached 2 million people in population, and the fact that it has, until recently, had no water treatment plants is again testament to the fact that the border has been largely overlooked or ignored, and it's time that we change that.
Even as the border has some of the nation's worst poverty, parts of the region are booming. NAFTA has made some border cities hubs for warehousing and transportation. Laredo and McAllen, Texas, are the second and third fastest growing cities in America, but they're unable to handle the volume of trucks trying to go north and south. Twin border cities are building new bridges as fast as they can, but tedious inspections by U.S. Customs, Immigration, and Agriculture officials slow traffic to a crawl, says McAllen City Commissioner Carlos Garza.
It's not uncommon at the port of entry at Hidalgo, Texas, to experience an hour and a half wait in trying to cross. You talk about road rage. In the summer when it's hot, it's 110 degrees, and you're sitting on that bridge, and you're crawling, you know, it's just, temper's flare.
The troubles on Mexico's northern border in some respects mirror those on the U.S. side. Global trade and squalid poverty exist side by side. In Mexico, foreign-owned border factories known as maquiladoras have attracted multitudes of poor migrants, says David Shirk, a political scientist at the Autonomous Technical Institute of Mexico in Mexico City.
Some parts of the border, some of the most rapidly growing parts of the border, are boasting rates of over 5% growth per year. And state and local governments along the border area are strained in terms of their capacity to provide for this amazing growth.
Earlier this year, Mexican President Vicente Fox created the first ever Federal Border Commission, among its assignments to address inadequate housing and wastewater in Mexican border cities and look for future sources of water and electricity. Texas lawmakers, such as State Senator David Sibley, a Republican from Waco, have called on President Bush to follow Fox's lead.
We need to have one person, I call it a border czar, who can call Immigration Naturalization, the Border Patrol, Department of Agriculture, all of these people together and say, we're going to figure out how to do business in the 21st century. We're going to design a border crossing. For crying out loud, if we send a man to the moon and bring him back, surely we can figure out how to get a truck across the border without it standing in line for 8 hours. I mean, we can do this.
Can we? John Poland is former regional administrator for the U.S. General Services Administration, which works with dozens of federal agencies present on the border. While he supports the idea of a U.S. border czar, he believes the position is currently unworkable.
I don't think that the interest in the bureaucracies that currently have a stake on the border are willing to give up their turf, their authority, their budget, their personnel to work in some kind of a unified way.
In the U.S.-Mexico borderlands, local public officials are accustomed to shouldering international problems. The once sleepy town of Douglas, Arizona, for instance, has become the busiest crossing point on the border for illegal immigrants. In response, the U.S. Border Patrol has built up an army of agents. Douglas Mayor Ray Borain is alarmed by the virtual militarization of his city, but he thinks there is hope now that both countries are finally discussing a new guest worker program as an alternative to illegal immigration.
And you know what? It's happening, so I'm very encouraged by it.
Some political commentators think it's no coincidence the Texas legislature has discovered the border shortly after the news hit that the state's vote-rich Hispanic population is growing faster than anyone predicted. But even under the best of circumstances, Texas has many other pressing expenses this year, and the hypothetical 51st state of Rio Grande may only get a fraction of its fair share. John Burnett, NPR News, Austin.